In today's lesson, as children of God, we have been called the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, we cannot be God's children. We cannot be filled with the Spirit of God. We cannot have God within us and not be the salt of the earth, not be the light of the world. Because that's who we are. It's ingrained within us. It's part of us. It can't be denied. To be a Christian is to embrace our role as the salt and the light. Those two phrases, salt of the earth and light of the world, are really, if you look at them carefully, affirmations of Jesus. He's saying that we are important and we are valued people, not because of something that we do, but because of who we are. We're not the salt or the light because of something we've done. We've not earned these titles by attending worship or giving generously or by being kind or performing some religious act. Nor did Jesus say to us and to his disciples, you ought to be the salt of the earth, or you should be the light of the world. He said, you are. Jesus said this to help his followers understand what discipleship means. He said that so his followers might understand that we're claimed by God, we're accepted by God. I believe that what Jesus meant by calling us salt and light is that we're agents of God's presence in the world. I don't think that God's presence and God's ways will be ushered in by supernatural events, things like lightning or earthquakes or fire, such as we read about in the book of Revelation. I believe and I have experienced that God's presence is revealed most often through the compassion and through the commitment of people. People like you. Our identity as Christians and as a church is shaped by the fact that we are evidence that God exists in our world today. We are evidence that God is present in our world today. That's who we are. What an honor. And yet, what a responsibility. Dr. William Willimon, when he was chaplain at Duke University, told about a group of church women who took this honor and responsibility as salt and light of the earth seriously. Their community was Pine Mountain, Georgia. And Pine Mountain, Georgia was a favorite spring and summer gathering place for high school and college students. And a number of them tended to run afoul with the law. And the antiquated little jail at Pine Mountain was always filled with youth awaiting their bail and fines. Well, this group of church women decided that it would be nice if they could reach out to these young people and the others in the jail at a time they really needed it. So they decided to start by making up some little toiletry kits with a toothbrush and maybe some little candy to make their stay a little bit more tolerable. This seemed like a harmless yet kind act. But the women visited the jail, and they were shocked by the conditions. The women were appalled at the sheer number of prisoners in such a small, cramped quarters, as well as some of the jail's procedures. There was no distinction made between the older and younger prisoners or between first-time and repeat offenders. One woman discovered that A large motivation was that the city collected a significant amount of money every year from its jail operations. Well, at a church meeting, this woman described the city jail as a disgrace, as an embarrassment. She said it's doing more to encourage crime in these young people than stop them on their road. More time the women spent helping some of these unfortunate people in the jail, the more they saw things that they did not like. They saw things that few citizens of Pine Mountain had ever seen. They saw signs of excessive force being used on prisoners, and even saw money change hands so that certain people would get favorable treatment. So this group went to share their concerns with the jailer. He listened to them and he responded, "You women ought to stay out of what is none of your business. Why don't you stick to your church work and leave the jail to us?" One of the women responded to him, "This is the work of the church." Well, the women successfully got an investigation started. The jailer resigned under pressure, and gradually things changed for the better. Now, these women could have taken the advice of the jailer and stuck to church work. But something inspired them to take their role as the salt of the earth and the light of the world seriously. Because of the fire of Christianity alive within the hearts and the spirits of these women, things changed in their little corner of the world. That's what Jesus is saying to us in calling us the salt and the light. We're called to make a difference as individuals and as a church. We're called to make a difference in exemplifying the presence of God in our world. Now, one of the questions I think I most frequently ask is, where is God in the midst of all of our world's troubles, like war and mass shootings and starvation and disease? And I don't have a clear-cut answer to that. But when I read Matthew 5, I think I gain a glimpse. God's presence is found through us. As salt and light, we represent God's presence daily. Of course, that doesn't answer the question as to why such bad things happen in life. But it does say to us that we're agents of God called to work for the betterment of life, for all people, especially those with heavy burdens and great needs. We are salt and light. But even as our identity has been stated, Jesus warns us that identity can lose integrity. We're children of God. But that identity has a way of losing focus and significance as we get careless and lazy with our faith life. When Jesus warned us that salt can lose its flavor, he was saying that although we're children of God, it's easy for that identity to slip away from us. We're the salt of the earth. But salt can lose its integrity, its identifying quality as salt. And so this is Jesus' warning, that it is easy to allow that sense of being a child of God to slip away. Now, letting that happen isn't something that happens overnight. It occurs gradually and slowly. Fewer and fewer people in the pews on a Sunday morning. The loss is rarely intentional. It's more a matter of drifting away. When one looks at the empty pews in this room And the landscape of the Christian church in this country and around the world, we have to wonder what is happening. But you know, that's why we're here. Together. To encourage one another. To help one another when life's path seems filled with overwhelming obstacles. When we come here together to worship, it's like a practice session for out there in the world. We gather here to have our identity shaped and honed as children of God. We gather to deepen our relationship with God and with one another. We're here to practice love and acceptance and forgiveness and restoration. We're here as Christians to provide flavor for life and shine light in the darkness of the world. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. It's who we are. Indeed, we are God's presence in the world. And we best be about that. Amen.